Recorded live from the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, this is the Soft Verbal Podcast presented by Pelias Pecans.
Awesome!
The Soft Verbal Podcast, your ticket to the latest, most accurate Ole Miss football recruiting information. No spin, no false hopes, just facts from the recruiting trail from RebelGrove.com recruiting analyst Russell Johnson.
Caution, you are about to enter the no spin zone.
And now, here's your host, Neil McCready.
God, here we go again.
Welcome into the Soft Verbal Podcast. I'm your host, Neil McCready. Russell Johnson, the RebelGrove.com recruiting analyst, here as well. Obviously, it's our first podcast. We'll make this a weekly podcast, usually middle to late part of the week. Excited about it. Also, really excited about some of our new sponsors, most especially Billy's Pecans. It began in Crenshaw, Mississippi, a small town of 800 or so folks. And about 45 minutes from Oxford, it's where Billy Crenshaw raised her family of four boys on a farm lined with pecan trees. And it's here that she made her first batch of now famous cinnamon spiced pecans. Not in any commercial cookery or restaurant, mind you, but smack dab in the middle of her family kitchen. Now housed in a 100-year-old building on Main Street, this third-generation family business is thriving, with daughter-in-law Stacy and her daughter Bailey continuing Billy's legacy. They bake and shake, sugar and spice, batches of southern pecans and other gourmet goodies to be shipped worldwide. They offer a variety of chocolate pecans, pecan toffee, and pecan brittle, as well as other wonderful treats that are the perfect crunch for every palate. Whether it's a gift for corporate clients, presents for the staff, or gifts for families and friends, Billy's Pecans will make your recipients happy. It's easy ordering, professionally packaged, shipped fresh and direct. The process of doing business with Billy's Pecans and more couldn't be any more satisfying. Billy's Pecans is located on Main Street in Crenshaw, Mississippi, but you can order online at Billy's Pecans, that's B-I-L-L-I-E-S, pecans.com, or by calling 800-624-7404. Now, to the podcast, Russell, welcome in. Excited?
Oh, yeah. Been waiting for this since I got here.
Good deal.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll get right to it. People are going to talk recruiting. It's going to be a recruiting-specific podcast. We'll do different things. Some weeks, Russell will have an interview. Some weeks, we'll do mailbags. And then as events warrant, as things change, as we get closer to signing periods, we'll go from there. But we'll be once a week. Usually, it'll be me hosting. Occasionally, like next week, it'll be Chase hosting. And Russell will be the recruiting expert. So this week, Russell asked for questions for his first recruiting podcast, and many of you delivered lots of questions, more questions than we'll get to. If we don't get to your question today, Russell will answer it on the message board at rebelgrove.com. All right, so we'll start here. Bohannon, I think that's the quarterback.
Yeah, he's from the Memphis area. He's from Arkansas.
They're asking, is he being moved down the board a good thing or a bad thing for Ole Miss?
I would definitely say that Ole Miss is still evaluating their options at the quarterback position. There's definitely some at the JUCO level, as well as a couple nearby that they're still looking at. And Kevin Doyle's also had a really good start to his senior year out there in D.C.
Okay. I'm curious a little bit here. I know this is going to come up in a bit, but what is the general recruiting perception on Ole Miss right now with all of the unknown? I mean, as we tape this, they're going in front of the COI on Monday, going to get a ruling from the NCAA at some point, probably in early to mid-November.
Are you saying from the staff or from recruits?
No, from kids.
Coaches?
What do kids think? I know this is the problem with staffs and stuff, is they can't comment specifically on general kids. So if me, Neil McCready, ask Matt Luke, how's recruiting going? Yeah. What kind of reception are you getting from kids? Well, he has no choice but to say to me, well, you know, it's good, real good. Kids are excited.
Always optimistic.
Yeah, you have to. What choice? What's he going to say?
Right.
I'm still waiting for the coach that goes, our recruiting is sucking.
They had the National Signing Day press conferences. We're like, we missed on quite a few targets.
Yeah,
you never hear that.
This is not what we wanted. It's always, we love our kids. So I get that. And it's not a criticism of Matt or any other coach. It's just, right. It just is what it is. So I'm going to ask you, because you're not obligated to say that. You talk to the kids. Is it generally cautious.
It's one of the first things that comes up in conversations. What do you think is going to happen with the NCAA, Russell? Or how bad do you think it's going to be? Schools have been using that as a recruiting tactic for however many years Ole Miss has been under investigation, and it's just gotten worse as time's progressed. There's a lot of in-state kids, 2018, 2019, who are really just in wait-and-see mode, waiting to see what happens and you know what the final penalties are. Although with the 2019 class, as everybody will tell you, a two-year bowl ban would not affect them. Only the scholarship limitations and probably the lack of success for the team would be what would affect their decisions.
Okay, Jay Reezy 23 asks, is there a specific running back or linebacker that could help next season that Ole Miss could realistically land?
Ole Miss actually has a linebacker target who's expected to announce tomorrow. He's down to three schools. It's Jaquez Jones from Hillcrest in Alabama, down to LSU, Mississippi State, and of course Ole Miss. Ole Miss has to like their chances there. In terms of an early impact at the linebacker position, really the only, I'd say, four-star or better prospect that they're still in on at the linebacker position is Chris Oates from Winton Woods in Ohio. And he's actually been quoted by several coaches up there at the start of the season as one of the best players in the state of Ohio. At the running back position, you've got three main guys other than the running back already committed from Jones County. You've got Jarvion Howard from East Marion. You've got Jeremy Banks from Cordova, who's emerging as a running back target pretty quickly. He didn't have the best game against Whitehaven last week, but that's expected against that defense. And the last one is Charles Strong out of Florida. He's been committed to Florida State for quite some time, and it just depends on whether or not he wants to get that playing time early on, because he would make an impact next year if he signed with Ole Miss.
Okay, along those lines, Double Lunch asks a question. He says, not being snarky, but does any of the recruiting matter before the new coach is hired? See, I don't even think that's snarky. I mean, there's a lot of people that would say, well, that's being negative. Nah, it's real. It's a real question.
Right.
How much of what's going on in recruiting right now, assuming that this staff in its totality is not back in 2018, matters?
I would say really the only thing that would matter right now is the 2019 offers, because these kids from out of state, they don't know what's going on. Like I posted yesterday in the Nuggets, there's kids who literally think that Alabama is Ole Miss's biggest rival. So the outside perception from Mississippi is completely different. And getting these kids to kind of learn a little bit more about Ole Miss early on could be beneficial for the new coach, as well as if the current one does end up staying.
I won't put you on the spot asking to name the best recruiters. There's several pretty good recruiters on this staff. Jacob Peeler comes to mind.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Luke's a pretty good recruiter. McGriff's a great recruiter.
Yeah, McGriff is definitely top three recruiter on the staff. I'd say Freddie Roach made a really big impact early on since he got to Oxford. His ties in the state of Alabama have been really well, worked really well. And he's actually gotten, I believe, two or three commits already from Alabama, with more to come.
H.G. Smith wants to know, what is going on with the recruitment of Draylen Porter at Coahoma Community College?
He's going to enroll in the class of 2019, and he is currently believed to be committed to Mississippi State. I could not confirm or deny that throughout the week, but that's what I've heard as of late.
We don't know what the sanctions are going to be. We don't know how many scholarships they're going to lose. Do you get a feel for how this staff is planning to parcel out scholarships?
They're a lot more selective. They can't just offer a kid because he likes Ole Miss. Oh, I want to play for Ole Miss. Okay, well, here you go. Here's your official offer. No, they can't do that anymore. They have to be careful, and they need to hit on the makes and minimize the misses is what they really need to do, which is something that hasn't always happened in the past under Hugh Freeze and the other staff.
It's an interesting question for Bob for Apples. It's actually good because I'm kind of anti-JUCO recruiting. I don't know why.
I don't blame you.
I don't think that's the way you build your program. But there will be a temptation to jump on this a little bit if they get hit hard.
Oh, yeah.
Given Ole Miss's coming scholarship restrictions, he says, how many JUCO players do you expect the staff to sign this year? And then secondly, if you had to guess, who are the most heavily pursued JUCOs, or who have the best shot at actually signing with Ole Miss from the JUCO ranks?
Well, I'd put the over under if I was a betting man at 6. It could, with the new staff, go up to 10. But I really don't see that happening. 10 is a lot of JUCO signees.
It's crazy.
This isn't Florida Atlantic. This is the SEC West. So I really don't think that that would be the best idea. And in terms of the actual players specifically, there's Damian Lewis at Northwest. I wouldn't be going to the East Mississippi Gulf Coast game tonight if I didn't think that there were going to be some future Ole Miss Rebels on the field. The quarterback specifically for Mississippi Gulf Coast is Torrence Gibson. He transferred in from Ohio State. He was going to go to Cincinnati. Credits didn't work out academically. So there he is now at the JUCO level, and Ole Miss is definitely looking at him.
10 JUCOs. Man.
Yeah, that's just a lot.
It's just a recipe for disaster.
Mississippi State signed how many last year?
I don't know.
I believe it might have been 8. And I think 2 or 3 of them aren't even eligible. I know one of the ones from East Mississippi last year is actually taking an academic red shirt. So, I mean, there's definitely a lot of things you got to be careful with when you're recruiting at the JUCO level. And, I mean, JUCOs will tell you all day, they don't post their roster until game week because there's so much shifting and kids changing their mind. One that comes to mind specifically is Sam Bruce. He transferred in from Miami. He actually isn't on the Gulf Coast roster, but it's believed that he's just there taking classes so he can get the credits to get back to the FBS level.
All right. T-Sun 11 wants to know, it's a good question. You moved down here from Ohio. Being in the South now and studying some of the JUCO rosters, were you surprised at just how much talent and depth there is? I'm assuming he means on JUCO rosters. Yeah. And he says, are there some JUCO defenders that could help Ole Miss immediately next fall?
Yeah, there's definitely some JUCO defenders. I mean, you've got...
See, but this is where it all lumps in, right?
Right.
Because if you have a second-year bowl ban, and I'm not saying that Ole Miss will, I'm not saying Ole Miss won't.
Right, nobody
does. I think it's 50-50.
Yeah.
But if there is, there's no reason to try to bolster your team for next year. That's a fan mentality, and I understand that
right.
fan mentality. It's easy for me to say this as a Cubs fan. It is. Because I saw it work.
Yeah, you saw the
buildings. I saw the rebuild work.
Yeah. Well, you had Theo Epstein. Ole Miss doesn't have Theo Epstein.
I saw the ball go into the glove. Yeah. I know it worked. But it's really hard from a fan standpoint. I totally get it. To buy in to a rebuild. Rebuilds suck. Because to rebuild right, you have to suck for a season or two.
Yeah, you do.
And fans look at this and go, we've got Shea Patterson, and we've got A.J. Brown, and we've got D.K. Metcalf, and there's no reason we should suck.
Right.
But if you're going to rebuild, you have to rebuild. You can't rebuild by loading up on JUCOs.
Yeah.
You are literally just extending your credit card debt and paying more interest on the credit card, yeah. and eventually you're going to max the damn thing out and have to pay it.
You're extending the rebuild in general.
You are extending yeah. the rebuild and making the rebuild harder.
Exactly. But I'd definitely say there's a lot more talent in Mississippi than I thought it was. The JUCO level is, I would compare it to the MAC. You've got the MAC in the state of Ohio. You've got Akron, Kent, Bowling Green, Miami, Toledo. And they have some pretty good talent. And they usually get the ones that Ohio State, Michigan, and Indiana and those miss out on. Down here, you've got these kids who get overlooked in high school. That's partially because of the recruiting services, but that's another topic for another podcast. They get overlooked, and they go to these JUCOs, and they kind of reset their recruitment. They get 2 years, they get their credits, they get to play football, and they get a chance to hopefully play at the D1 or D2 level. And there's quite a bit of talent. I would say on the field at East Mississippi tonight, there will be at least 15 to 20 Division I prospects on that field.
C Handy 116 says, who are the three most likely players to commit next? You mentioned the one that could commit as early as tomorrow. First of all, do you think he commits to Ole Miss?
Yes.
All right. Who are the next two?
I'd have to say Jarvian Howard out of East Marion, the one I was talking about earlier. And the third one, that's really your guess as good as mine. Jamorian Jones from Brookhaven might be one to watch. He's definitely had some things going on off the field that may push him towards staying in-state a little bit more than in the past. I know UCLA was after him pretty hard at one point, but that seems to have cooled as of late since they've taken, I believe, 3 or 4 defensive backs.
Beham Rebel says, so as it sits today, does this class even have a legit 4-star candidate? And if so, what position? And then he says, I know Gregory, referring to the wide receiver commitment from South Carolina, was or is expected to drop down to a three-star.
You've got Chris Oates, as I mentioned earlier. Gregory, it's kind of hit or miss what's going to happen with him, whether he's going to drop. There's a ton of wide receiver targets. You've got Miles Battle, who's currently committed to Oregon. You've got Seth Williams from Alabama, who Roach and Peeler are both on pretty hard. You've got Devonta Jason from Louisiana. He's committed to Kansas, but they're still after him really hard. And then you've got Elijah Moore, who was believed to be an Ole Miss lean, and then UGA came in late and kind of just took him. And Jalen Cunningham is another one from the state of Alabama. He's a four-star defensive tackle. He's been recovering from his injury. He actually just got medically cleared, so it's going to be interesting to see if Alabama will push as they've been expected to.
Who's a player committed to another school most likely to flip to Ole Miss?
Olive Branch cornerback Jalen Reed. He's still in contact with the Ole Miss staff almost every day. Jones, McGriff, they're not going to give up on him. And before the Hugh Freeze incident and everything happened there, he was actually believed to be committing to Ole Miss that weekend. So things really escalated quickly when he showed up in Starkville the next day after Hugh Freeze resigned, fired. So things escalated real quickly there.
This is where you have your hands full right here with questions like this. It's a good question. In Tex Reb, North Tex Reb says, who are the big-time wide receiver targets that are going to replace Brown and Lige next year? Okay, let's take that sentence and unpack it. That's saying A.J. Brown's transferring out, if you buy that, which means it's a multi-year bowl ban. I'm not sure A.J. even leaves on a multi-year bowl ban.
I don't think so. I think the in-state kids are more likely to stay than, you know, the Trey Nixons of the world.
Lige has another year, too. Lige is – DeMarcus is a junior.
Yeah, I believe so.
I guess he could transfer. If we, referring to Ole Miss, are going to run four wide receiver sets, we will need between 8 to 12 studs on the roster. Would have to think we sign at least four this year.
You could sign four if you were doing signing a full 25-man class. You can't sign four receivers in a 19-man class. That's just not realistic.
You're not going – this is – sanctions are punitive by design.
Exactly.
You can't fulfill all of your needs. You have to choose needs. If you have 18 available scholarships and you sign five wide receivers or four wide receivers,
your linebacker core is not going to get any better, that's for sure.
If they're going to oversign at a position right now, it has to be lines of scrimmage, linebacker.
Mm-hmm. Defensive back.
Who are some wide receivers, though, that are – assuming this is the offense that they run next year, who are some wide receivers out there that makes sense that they have a shot at?
They're still after Tommy Bush from Clemens. He actually really blew up over the spring. Ole Miss was one of the first Power 5 programs to offer. You've got him. Again, you've got Miles Battle, Seth Williams. And then looking forward, if you look to the 2019 class, Ole Miss has three or four possible receiver targets just in the state of Mississippi alone. You've got Jordan Jernigan. You've got Dennis Jackson. You've got Kevin Barnett at Oak Grove. I mean, Peeler's not going to have any problem getting receivers in that offense. And the new wide receiver coach, if they do run the same offense next year, isn't going to have any problems either.
We'll get back to the questions in just a moment. The Soft Verbal Podcast, also brought to you by Fidelity Mortgage agent John Bonelli. John's been in the mortgage business for 13 years, has extensive experience in conventional loans, FHA loans, USDA rural development loans, VA loans, and bond loans. John specializes in home mortgages and loan services in the Jackson-Flowood area, but he services the entire state of Mississippi, from condos in Oxford to vacation homes on the coast and all points in between. Contact John at Fidelity Mort, that's Fidelity MORT.com, or at 601-842-9764. Fidelity Mortgage LLC, NMLS 1039190. The podcast is also brought to you by the Storage Acquisition Group. Those guys are in Las Vegas this week for a convention. They're going to get us some more details for next week's Soft Verbal Podcast, but we would like to welcome them to the family of podcasts. That's the Storage Acquisition Group. More on them next week on the Soft Verbal Podcast. All right, Russell, this is a good question. No offense to the other questions that have been asked so far. This one's the one I'm most interested in. It's really interesting.
You interested in recruiting? That's a new thing.
CC Barnett says, Your thoughts on the effect of a one-year bowl ban versus a two-year bowl ban with the 2019 class? Okay. Before you answer, one of my assignments to Russell when he first got down here and got started, I said, hey, look, and I know I'm a cynic. I know. I said, forget this 18 class. I mean, you got to cover it. Got to whatever. Focus on the 19 kids. State's loaded.
Loaded.
There are going to be a lot of scholarships, a lot of spots. If it's a one-year bowl ban, how is that class impacted to the best of your knowledge? And if it's a two-year bowl ban, how is that class impacted to the best of your knowledge?
I mean, with a two-year bowl ban, they're still not going to miss a bowl game or a postseason. But what it really comes down to is what the product is on the field, who the coaches are, what the relationships are. That's what's going to be important if it's a two-year bowl ban. If it's a one-year bowl ban, you'll see the 2018 class get an uptick, and you could see, as Woody and Chad both mentioned earlier this week on the main site, that things could get better quickly, and they could end up with five of the top 10 in 2019. Like you said, this class is loaded. We've got eight kids in the state of Mississippi in the Rivals 250, which is a pretty big deal. I believe that compares favorably to the 2016 class. With the one-year bowl ban, the 2019 class, you have the chance to get the Brandon Turnages, the N'Kobe Deans, the Radar Jones. You'll have the chance to get them, and you will have full clarity on the penalties. You'll have everything that's going on. You'll know what is happening.
Who are you mentioned some of them in that class of that group? Who's the most likely to be Ole Miss signees?
I would say DeJuan Black plays for Forest. He's a safety. Well, they're recruiting him as an athlete, but he's going to be a safety at the next level. And then you've got Dennis Jackson from Summerall. I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly. I'm still getting used to these Mississippi names. But those are the two most likely, I would say. There's really no locks towards Ole Miss in recruiting right now. So that's been interesting to follow for sure.
Another JUCO question, though this one's a specific one. Which former Power 5 signees turned Mac JC?
That's the Mississippi JUCO.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Are realistic for Ole Miss in 2017, meaning this early signing period?
Ooh, early signing period. Torrence Gibson, the quarterback from Mississippi Gulf Coast, I think if he has a big couple next couple of weeks, he'll pick up that Ole Miss offer pretty
quick. Now,
can
he play something besides quarterback, or is that your Shea Patterson transferring?
That's your Shea Patterson transferring, come in and play. I mean, back when he was in high school, people wanted to recruit him at receiver. Tennessee, Ohio State, Alabama, everybody wanted him at receiver, but he has it set in his mind that he wants to play quarterback, which has kind of gotten him in trouble a little bit. That's why, out of all the options he chose when he left Ohio State, he was going to go to Cincinnati because he wanted to play with Fickell. He wanted to play quarterback. And he's really proved, at least last week, we'll see how he does tonight, that he can play at a high level at the quarterback position.
Larry Joe wants to know the name of the podcast and when it's going to first be published. Well, I'll tell you, the name of the podcast is the Soft Verbal Podcast, presented by Billy's Pecans. It's we're taping it literally as we speak. It's going to be published today. And in the interim, between listening to it and listening to next week's, you should go online to billyspecans.com or call 800-624-7404. I talked to Stacy Crenshaw just the other day. I talked to Bailey. They're sending some samples. So I'll report back to you on the samples.
Yeah, we definitely need some samples in here.
It would be it's an awesome Christmas gift idea. Pecans. You like pecans?
I do.
In Ohio, do y'all pronounce it pecans or pecans?
It's pecans in Ohio.
Yeah, it's pecans.
I've learned quickly the pronunciation of words here.
Yeah. We got that one right. Some of it we get wrong, like Lafayette County.
Yeah,
it should be Lafayette County.
You should hear my wife try to pronounce it.
But, yeah, we got that one wrong. But we got pecans right. When people do the pecan thing, it's like, no. Linebacker targets. Good Lord, Ole Miss needs linebackers. They can offer immediate playing time at linebacker. Who are some guys that are realistic candidates at that spot?
They're still after Chris Oates, the kid from Ohio. They're still after Jet Johnson, the kid from Tupelo, committed to Mississippi State. Other than that, there's really not any 100% top targets at the position. That's one of the positions, like as you said, they've missed out on over the years. They've been star chasing on the Willie Gays and the Leo Lewises of the world. So this is a position that they need to figure out, but it doesn't seem as if it's a priority even at this point right now.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, D'Onta Hyman, he's a hybrid. He can play on the outside or the inside. They've got Jonathan Hess committed and Jaquez Jones likely. I'd say 80-20, maybe 90-10, that he commits to Ole Miss tomorrow. Other than that, the position is still – they could probably take one or two more, and no really real top target has emerged as of yet.
Do you sense the staff is waiting to some degree?
Oh, yeah.
For the sanctions to come down?
Oh, yeah. That, besides the point – the fact that they've offered almost 25 kids in the past two nights, I can tell you they've kept my Twitter fingers busy.
Unofficial visitors can't come to games until, I think, the LSU game.
Yeah, that's correct.
How much of an impact does that have? I mean, it's not a big deal, but it sort of is a big deal.
It is a big deal. The local kids, they want to come out. They want to come see. I know last week they wanted to see Devin Rockette, and he didn't even play. He wasn't even on the travel roster from South Alabama. What it really comes down to is when these kids get here, what is the impact going to be? Will they know what's going on? I don't think they won't know in October, will they?
I wouldn't think so. I would think it would be 1st of November at the earliest. I think it's early to mid-November.
I know they're expecting well over 100 kids for that LSU game. They're going to go up, start out with a bang. They're also not having any official visitors. No one's coming to campus basically whatsoever. If you want to come visit Ole Miss right now, you're sitting in the stands and you have no interaction with the coaching staff whatsoever.
Did any kids come?
Brandon Turnage was here last week.
Okay.
That's about it.
It was weird to be down on the field before a game when there were no prospects.
It was.
It was strange. It's a weird look. You forget scenes that you just kind of take for granted. You've kind of answered this question. I'll let 901 Reb ask it. General question, but is there any reason for us, the fans, to put much into any recruiting buzz before the sanctions are official? It's not in any way being dismissive of your work and reporting, but obviously that will shape the future, including recruiting. Follow-up, are there any players with big contribution potential out there that you think are Ole Miss locks, regardless of the sanctions?
I laugh at the word locks in recruiting.
No such creature, is there?
There's none. You could say there is all the time, but then I could just show you a picture of Reuben Foster and his Auburn tattoo.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, things change so quickly. Recruiting is so fluid. I would have to say that – could you repeat the question, actually?
Yeah, he basically says, is there any reason for the fans to put much in any recruiting buzz?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely – Ole Miss is building momentum for the future. That's really what they're focusing on. They're trying to steer clear of the sanctions. They know what's coming. Well, they don't know what's coming. They know something's coming. As like you were saying last week, there's a hurricane coming, but you have to cover recruiting in the meantime. You still got to recruit. You still got to get these kids on campus when they can, and you got to go from there.
Randall Four says, what's Ole Miss's recruiting pitch to players to stay? I think he means the guys that are already here. Is it only 12 more games and you're in the league? Is it you don't need a bowl game anyway, just another chance to get hurt? Fournette, McCaffrey, for example, skipped theirs.
Right.
I don't think they've gotten to that place yet.
No, they're not ready to start writing down recruiting pitches on how to keep their own players. That's something that will come up, obviously. But, I mean, as I've mentioned, I really do think that the in-state kids and the ones that might have just one left, they just might say the heck with it and stay. I mean, or they could go and compete for a national championship somewhere else. But that's not a lock, and it's also not a lock that you're going to get that playing time.
Well, and realistically, the whole championship thing, this is the part of this that I think people miss out on. And maybe I'm wrong. I'm going to freely say that I'm perhaps wrong. Listen, for kicks and giggles, it's a two-year bowl ban, and one of the provisions is kids who want to leave can leave. No penalty. See, everybody talks about, okay, well, big-time kids can go compete for a championship. How many programs, realistically, going in the next season, are national title contenders? I'm not asking you to name them. I'm just saying in general. Six?
Yeah, six to eight.
Okay, well, they're most of those programs. Now, look, I mean, if you're DK Metcalf or you're A.J. Brown or whatnot, you can get on the field at those places.
Right.
But you got to go learn a new system. Mm-hmm. You got to pick up all your stuff out of your apartment.
That's a lot of work.
Move it to a new apartment.
It's a lot of work for 1 year.
You've got relationships, friendships, girlfriends, whatnot, that are all here.
Children.
In some cases, children. It's not just a football deal. People do the football thing, and I'm not, again, I always sound like I'm making fun of fans. I'm not at all. This isn't professional sports yet, sort of. It's kind of, but not really.
Close.
But it's not a free agency deal where a guy gets to go through a free agent process, and he's got an agent, and he's 30-something years old, and he goes, Jake Arrieta, I'm a free agent. All right, I've got a couple years to look at this. I think the Yankees might bid. I think Baltimore might get back involved. You know, I could, maybe Atlanta makes a splash. It's time to think about it. Talk with his family. It's a different deal than, boom, this comes down in November, and now they swarm on you. I think the kids who are more likely to transfer out are kids who are a year or two in and say one of two things. This isn't what I bargained for.
The 2016 and the 2017 classes, yes.
I didn't sign with these guys. This isn't what I bargained for. And I'm not even on the field yet.
Right.
I want to go – this is a chance for me to do a redo.
Redo their recruitment. Take I can the official get out. Visits again.
Yeah, I can get out. Let's say I don't want to use a specific. Joe Schmo came down to Ole Miss, and I'm gonna use way outs, okay? Because I don't want anybody to go, who's talking about so-and-so.
There's a lot of that going on.
It came down to Ole Miss and Minnesota. Okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I almost went to Minnesota. Was real close. In the end, I picked Ole Miss, and I liked Ole Miss. But now that this is here, this gives me an opportunity. And Minnesota's contacted my family through back channels. They want me. I'm going to go there. I'm gonna. It's a redo. I think that's more likely, honestly, than some of the kids that go, hey, man, I want to go play for a title. So where are you going, Alabama?
That'd be my guess.
I mean, you know, if you told me Greg Little transferred out in that scenario to go someplace – but here's the risk for Greg Little, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What if you go there and it's a transition that doesn't go smoothly?
And you hurt your draft stock.
Now you really hurt your draft stock because the NFL goes, so he can't transition. Because NFL's a transition.
Oh, yeah.
When you leave college and go to the Dolphins or the Saints or the Bucks or the Seahawks, well, you're going to learn new terminology, a new system, a new place,
yeah, a whole new
town, new building, yeah. Everything. So – it's a gamble for him as opposed to going, this isn't what I bargained for. But right now I'm the first pick in the first left tackle taken in the draft. Left tackle's left tackle. I'm playing in the SEC. It's just 12 games.
Got to protect that blind side.
All I got to do is to go do my job.
Exactly.
I'm going to stay here. I'm just going to play. I'm not saying that's what Greg would or would not do. I don't know. I'm just saying when people say, well, this kid would leave, often I think they're looking at the wrong kids. I think it's far more likely that kids in that 2016 class bolted than kids from earlier classes. And I know Little's in the 16 class. I mean, I get that.
Right.
But people talk about, like, the DeMarcus Lodge and guys like that. They've been in Oxford long enough to have a lot of roots.
Yeah, a lot
and,
of roots.
You know, I mean, yeah. So I don't know. If you told me that they got a multi-year bowl ban, do I think a lot of kids leave? I do. I don't know that I buy the mass exodus line.
So what number are you talking?
6 to 8.
Yeah, I've heard 6 to 8, 7 to 10.
That's
likely. But I don't think that all of those are immediate impact players or players that are making an impact this season in Oxford.
You hadn't been here long enough to answer this, I don't think. But I'll let you give your opinion.
Almost a month.
Yeah, this is dating back a few years. I'm a rebel. Ask, why does Ole Miss struggle signing linebackers and running backs? Any theories?
Star chasing. Like I mentioned it before. It's the moment. Well, even before Willie Gay decommitted last year, you knew he wasn't coming to Ole Miss. You were still recruiting him. You recruited Leo Lewis to the end. That's what got you into part of the mess you're in now. really, it's been that, and it's been misses when they do take the linebackers. They do still have Mohamed Sanogo signed last year, Josh Clark. Those could make an impact later on, but it just doesn't seem that right now it's the best fit.
So where are you going this weekend?
This weekend I will be at the Oxford Lafayette game, and tonight I'll be at the East Mississippi Gulf Coast game.
Okay. What do you have planned for next week?
Next week I am seeing Memphis University School play South Panola.
And then on the show you're going to interview
Brandon Turnage. Lafayette, he's undergoing surgery later today. He has the the Lisfranc injury with his foot.
Yeah.
It'd be tough to come back from, but I think he's young enough. He'll be all right.
Yeah, that cost the Thunder a title.
Cost the Thunder a title, cost Maurice Jones-Drew's career.
Yeah. I'm more concerned about the Thunder.
I'm sure you are.
Anyway, that does it for this edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast. Chase Parham will be in this seat next week. I'll be on the road. Russell will be back as you just heard. So, again, our thanks to Billy's Pecans. It's billyspecans.com, 800-624-7404. Fidelity Mortgage agent John Benelli, also to the Storage Acquisition Group. We'll be back next week with another edition of the Soft Verbal Podcast. Until then, for Russell Johnson, I'm Neil McCready. Take care.